Well, good afternoon, and it's wonderful to see you all again. Thank you for inviting me back. I'm Jordan, for those who don't know. I was the supply minister here for 2 years before the Reverend Mike came in. As we heard at the start of the service, today is the first Sunday of Advent, which, for those who don't know, means that this is the period of time that we come into as we lead into Christmas. Advent means, the word means arrival. So when you're looking at this whole season, of December as we get to Christmas, all you're doing is you're waiting for the arrival, and the arrival of the birth of Christ in history, but also the birth of Christ in your life. Okay? So we call this period of time sacred waiting. But today's message that I have is I actually took from the gospel reading from last week, because it fits in with the message that I preached here 2 weeks ago. So if you were here for that message where I spoke about Christ saying that he's the temple, and if you tear it down, he will build it up again, I wanted to pull this same reading, which is just after it, so that these two messages can go together. So if you want to go back to Viber and listen, or wherever it is, these two messages will match up. So the first thing I want to do is I want to ask us the question that Pilate had asked, which is, who is this Jesus who is also called Christ? I want you to think about that question as I'm speaking, because as we enter into this new season of Advent and we are waiting for this sacred arrival, who is this Jesus that you are waiting for? Whether it be in your heart or your understanding or whatever. The gospel reading is what is known as Christ the King. But in that reading of the gospel, you will see that we did not read about this glorious King who was sitting high upon a throne where every name under heaven and earth, every knee bowed, or any of that. The gospel reading told us that this King, who was called Christ, is not seen as power and glory and triumph, because he is on a cross. And so what we do see is that this King is in pain, weakness, exhaustion, suffering, silence, and uncertainty. Because if you look at Christ on the cross, that's what he is enduring. He calls out to God, "Why have you forsaken me?" He cries out that he's thirsty. The women who stand before the cross, who are with him, they're weeping. All the apostles have abandoned him, except John. So this Jesus, who is also called Christ, is on this cross. Now, the thing is that we heard in the Colossians reading by Paul is that Christ also claims to be God. And it pleased God that all the fullness of God would dwell within him. So the question that we have to ask is, what is God doing on a cross? And I'll just read out those descriptions again for you of what he is enduring on this cross. It's pain, weakness, exhaustion, suffering, silence, and uncertainty. What does that tell you? Well, the one thing that it tells me is that God is not distant from our suffering, but that he has himself become a part of it. He is enduring it as we endure it. The one thing I love in this story is the thief. The church calls him the good thief. The one thing that's quite wonderful about him is that we have no idea who he is. We don't know his name. He never appears again. He dies not long after Christ dies. But the one thing about this thief, despite the life that he lived, and he admits that he didn't live a good life in that sense, is that he says these two words that I want you to remember. And that's quite ironic that I said that word. Because what we hear in this thief's words, they are simple, they are true, they are desperate, and they are authentic. And despite living the life that he lived, being in the position that he is in, also in this suffering, is that he says to Christ in the midst of Christ's suffering, remember me. Simple, true, desperate, and authentic. I wonder how many times that we have in our moments of trials and sufferings, in our times of weaknesses, in our times of uncertainty, in times of our own divine silence, where, as Shakespeare said, deaf heaven, he troubled deaf heaven with his bootless cries, and it didn't respond to him, that we could just cry out those two words, remember me. And what's beautiful is not only the fact that the thief, in all of his personal suffering and all that he's going through, and just crying out these two words, remember me. When we look at Christ, who was in just as much suffering, what does he say? Today, you will be with me. And not just today, but he says, truly, today, you will be with me. And so I want you to think now to a point that you have been in one of these positions, or all of them, pain, weakness, exhaustion, suffering, silence, uncertainty. And you have said in your heart those words, remember me. It could be something that you've already been through. It could be something that you're currently going through. It could be something that you're worried that you're going to go through. But if you cry out those two words, remember me, the response is, truly, today, you will be with me. Or rather, I will be with you. Even in that cross, even in that suffering, even in that torment and that humiliation and the abandonment and all that sort of stuff, his mind was still on helping this thief. And I remember hearing a pastor say once about this thief, is that just say, if you want to just imagine this, the thief dies, he goes to heaven, and then he appears at the pearly gates and an angel says to him, when were you baptized? I wasn't. Which church did you belong to? What denomination are you from? And this was a Protestant pastor who said this. So he said, do you believe in the doctrine of justification by faith alone? Have you taken communion? Did you go to confession? No, 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 no. Do you have a full revelation of who Christ was to you? No. Then by what right do you have to be here? And the thief simply said, the man on the cross said it will come. And that's it. Because in weakness, Christ gives us mercy. In fear, he gives us presence. And when he has nothing left to give, he gives us all of himself. We once did when I was doing the supply ministry here, we, on one of the communion Sundays where we didn't take communion, but I did do a message on communion, I said, when you're taking communion, when you take that bread and you take that juice or wine, when you take it, what Christ is saying to you, that this is all of me for all of you. So every time you partake in communion, he's saying, this is all of me for all of you. And so again, those descriptions I gave you before about the weakness. In the weakness, he gives you mercy. In fear, he gives you presence. And when there is nothing left to give, he gives you his all. Faith is not about you and your achievements. It is about the faithfulness of Christ. That's the point of the story of the thief that I just told you that was in heaven. He did nothing to deserve to go there. It was not based on any of that. When he said to Christ, remember me, and Christ said, truly today, you will be with me, he did nothing to deserve that. That's not the point of the story. The point of the story is the fact that that's how faithful Christ is to him. Even when you make mistakes. Even when you do the wrong thing. Even when you do the wrong thing intentionally. It's not based on your achievements. It's not based on what you do that's right. It's based on about how faithful he is. God's love isn't earned because you are capable. God's love comes to you even when you are empty. So I'll return us back to the question I said at the start, which is, who is this Jesus who is also called Christ? Now, you might say that he's the Son of God, he's the Messiah, he's all that. They're not wrong answers. But if you want a true description of who Christ is, Paul tells you in that reading of Colossians. It's a reading in Colossians that I encourage you all to remember, to mark. If you have a Bible that you have at home that's your Bible, whether you write in it or you underline it or you highlight it or whatever, this is one of those verses that you should mark and always go back to. Because Jesus the man was one thing. Jesus the Christ is something more. Then they are both the same. So if you were to go to Paul and to say, who is this Jesus who is called Christ? He tells you here. Who is he? He is the image of the invisible God, and he is the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church. He was the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things on heaven, having made peace through blood of the cross. What does that mean? Well, everything was made for him. Everything was made by him. Everything is stained by him. And it pleased the Father that all things should be full of him. And what he's doing is that he is reconciling, which means he's bringing all things back to himself. Whatever point we are at in our life and whatever we're hit with, the Christ is bringing you back to himself. What's quite beautiful is that you can take this passage and you can go to the East, whether it be in Taoist or Hindu or some schools of Buddhism, and they will completely understand what this means. In the mystic, Christian mystic tradition, they call this the cosmic Christ, where you see Christ in all things. So it doesn't matter if you're suffering, it doesn't matter if you're doing well, it doesn't matter what country you're in or what culture you're a part of, you will see Christ in all things. Because all things were made through him and for him and by him. And nothing was made that was made that was not by him. And he's reconciling everything back to himself. And if you ever have that mindset that there is a barrier between you and God, or there's a silence between you and God, or God's upset with you or doesn't want anything to do with you, or is punishing you or has abandoned you, he says here that he has made peace through the blood of his cross. That's why when you say, remember me, he says, today I'll be with you. Not tomorrow, not when you repent, not when you get baptized, not when you join a church, not when you do all the things that you're supposed to be doing. He says today. He holds all things together. When we fall apart, Christ carries us today to be with him. Christ the King does not avoid suffering, but he enters it. Christ reigns not through force, but through love. Christ is there not for the strong, but for the struggling. This is a very heavy, lot of language, a lot of doctrine. Probably not the best for the start of Advent. But it's something I wanted to bring to you. And if you want me to distill this whole message for you from both readings, these are the three things I want you to remember. What can you learn from this and how do you apply this? Number one, you are remembered. Okay? So I want you to think that wherever you're at in your life or wherever you've been or wherever you go, the one thing I want you to remember is that you are remembered. The second thing is, you are held. And the third thing is Christ is with you, especially in your weakness. Okay, I'll say those three again. Number one, you are remembered. Number two, you are held. And number three, Christ is with you, especially in your weakness. If you agree with that, I want you to say amen.
Amen.
I hope you've been blessed. I hope that this message has spoken to you. And like I said, it matches up with the message I gave you 2 weeks ago about burying your ending in the rubble so that Christ can bring something new. So let's worship Christ the King. Amen?
Amen.